everyone. Welcome and thank you for joining our monthly Conscious Dating teleseminar. This seminar series is designed to help you find the love of your life and the life that you love. Please mark your calendar and be sure to join us on the first Thursday of each month for outstanding one-of-a-kind programs you won't want to miss. Our topic tonight is conscious internet dating, using your computer to find your soulmate. If you don't have the outline for tonight's call, it is available in PDF format. You can go to www.consciousdating.com/internet.htm as in Mary, and you can print off a copy. The outline will make it easier to follow along and take notes. I'm Frankie Dorn, the president of Conscious Relationship Network. Our mission is to do everything in our power to help you find your life partner. For example, on the third Thursday of each month, we conduct a free monthly conscious dating teleclinic to provide real-time coaching and relationship advice. For more information, visit www.consciousdatingteleclinic.com. We're absolutely serious about our commitment to helping you find fulfilling relationships, and we're excited you're here with us this evening. Tonight I'm joined by my special guest, Sandra Rohr. Sandra is a certified relationship coach with Relationship Coaching Institute and is also a certified life purpose coach. Widowed and dateless for more than 6 years, Sandy started dating again at age 58 and fell deeply in love with a man she met over the internet. Since then, she has become an expert on internet dating, helping clients use the conscious dating method to learn and date consciously, mate consciously, and live deliciously. Sandy, I really love that comment in your bio about helping singles live deliciously. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, one of the principles of conscious dating is to live a successful single life, which is another way of saying live deliciously. Delicious living means to live the very best life you can, whether you're married or not. It means knowing your passions in life, passions other than finding a partner, and pursuing them in the present, not waiting till some future date when everything is in place. The truth is that when we are living our own best, most delicious life in the present, not only are we happier right now, but we're also in a far better position to attract that loving partner we desire, one whose values and passions align with ours.
That makes perfect sense. Thank you. Well, tonight we're going to discuss some of the many issues associated with internet dating, and I hope we'll be able to inspire you all to live deliciously. In tonight's program, you'll learn how to avoid the top five pitfalls of internet dating, how to be the chooser and eliminate feelings of rejection. You'll learn the top 10 tips for creating a winning profile, and you'll also learn how to sort, screen, and test internet dates. And importantly, you'll learn safety tips, both for your profile and when meeting an online date. We will be recording this teleseminar, so if you would like to receive the audio file and a complete written transcript, visit www.consciousdatingaudio.com. Tonight's seminar will be approximately 1 hour in length and includes a question and answer period at the end of the program. So please make note of any questions you may have as they come up during the seminar. Well, Sandy, let's begin. What would you like to tell us about the top five pitfalls of internet dating?
Well, I want to start by saying that even though there are some challenges to internet dating, not one of these pitfalls is a reason for not going on the internet to meet people. Rather, these are things to consider and to plan for, and we're going to address each of these today in the call, how to plan for each one of these. The first pitfall is stranger danger. From the time that we're really young, our mothers warned us against talking to strangers. And we've heard, especially in the early days of internet dating, how dangerous it can be to interact with people we meet with this way. Everyone has heard a horrendous story about what happened to an unwary dater. And it's true that all we know of the person who posted the profile is what he or she tells us in that profile. To avoid this trap, use your common sense. Spend some time communicating by email till you're comfortable going further. And if you're getting sexual comments early on, or if the person claims to love you before you've even met, these are some major red flags. Once a man sent me a full frontal nude photo of himself before we'd even talked on the phone. And needless to say, our communication ended at that point, and he just didn't get it, but, you know. Then, and only when you feel comfortable, you give your phone number. Now, we all know that it's possible to look up an address by Googling a phone number, so I usually give my cell phone, which isn't tied to an address. Then, when you feel comfortable meeting in person, meet in a public place, something like a coffee shop, and keep alert to any red flags that present themselves. Go with your gut feeling, essentially. If you feel like, ooh, there's something wrong here, there's probably something wrong here, and just pay attention to that. Then the second pitfall is a feeling of rejection. Let's face it, it's emotionally risky to put yourself out there. But then all worthwhile goals are risky. And we're going to talk about this feeling of rejection in a few minutes, so I won't go into any further detail with that one right now. The third pitfall is falling in love before actually meeting. I experienced this one several times in my early internet dating. It never happens now. The profile can be so compelling, the photo so wonderful, the emails and telephone conversations so exciting that we allow ourselves to be carried away and we feel, oh my God, I've hit the jackpot. And then when we finally meet, we discover there's absolutely no chemistry, none. Not a zip. And this one, it's fairly easy to avoid. You just keep a rein on your imagination and emotions as you begin your conversations. No matter how wonderful he or she might seem, you don't yield to the temptation to be carried away in your communication. You keep reminding yourself that you haven't had a chance to test this person and see if he or she is really what they are claiming to be. The important thing in the communication is to keep your tone friendly and warm, but keep it light. Then the next pitfall, number four, is sometimes having to say no to a person, telling someone thanks, but no thanks. And nobody wants to hurt anybody's feelings. And some people keep dating or communicating with another person long past when they know that it's over, just because they're uncomfortable saying, no, I'm not interested. So when we do meet that person, it can be difficult to let them down gently, especially if they've shown a clear interest in proceeding. And the response to this one is to really know your own requirements, needs, and wants, and the big one is to respect your own personal boundaries. Keep in mind that if you agree to proceed, you're essentially leading this person on. You're lying to him or her, and eventually you're going to cause hurt. The best way to handle this is to practice saying gently, with a rueful smile and a little sadness, I think you're a great person, but I just don't feel that we're a match. But I wish you the best of luck. In my experience, both as the giver and receiver of such a statement, everyone is relieved and grateful for the clarity. But don't promise to call or in any way lead the other person into expecting further communication if you know that you're not interested. It just isn't fair.
And Sandy, I think that this is a terrific point because really this boils down to treating others the way you'd like to be treated yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. Then the fifth pitfall is relying only on internet dating. And internet dating is wonderful, but I think this one is the biggest pitfall. Internet dating should be looked at as only one of many ways to meet people. Sitting at home, nursing our computers, waiting for a wink or a response is isolating. We're not out there interacting in groups that are highly aligned with our own core values. And the truth is we're most likely to meet our partner in these groups, although it does happen on the internet as well. In addition to internet dating, get out there and mix it up. To start with, just getting away from your computer will feel good and will make you a more interesting person. Join a group that's aligned with your interests. If you love to dance, take dance lessons. You could join the Sierra Club, and they have a gazillion activities that you can take part in. You could join a church and become active, or you could volunteer for a cause that you're passionate about. The bottom line is that when you interact with people who have your same passions and your same values, you're going to find someone who is highly aligned with you, and that's the goal.
And Sandy, I think it's worth noting that the number one frustration people have with internet dating is that although there are so many candidates, only a few are really highly qualified.
That's true.
Yeah, and the majority are not a fit. And when you do find someone you're interested in, it can be very disconcerting when they don't respond to you. And as you said, internet dating should be one of many ways to meet people, not the only one. So you really need to be out there and casting your net wide.
That's right.
Well, let's talk about being the chooser, because I really think that helps people diminish these feelings of rejection. Because many people do struggle with the concept of being the chooser. It's a hard one to get your head around. And I think it's because loving and being loved touches such a deep personal part of us. It really forms who we are, and it validates our self-worth. That's where we're most vulnerable. So rejection is an issue that most people have experienced, but it's especially difficult for people who have low self-esteem. And to those people, rejection is a validation that they're not worthy or deserving of a great love relationship. That cuts deep, and it creates strong feelings of fear. When you add stress of meeting people, and the experience can become unbearable. In fact, one of my clients was always so nervous anytime he went out on a date that he literally threw up. He was just so ill at ease. But the desire for love is such a compelling need that in spite of fear, people are willing to take the risks. And being the chooser, adopting that attitude, is the antidote to fear of rejection. Because once you become a chooser, you will never fear rejection again. It's a perspective that will allow you to view your life from the inside out. And by that I mean, as a chooser, you create the life experiences based on your criteria for living a full life. You're not driven by others' opinions, expectations, or wants. And you have a clear vision of your ideal relationship, and you're not willing to compromise or settle for less than what you deserve. As the chooser, you also realize the person you wish to attract will want to be with you and love you because of who you are, not in spite of it. So the more you are authentically you, the easier it will be for your mate to connect with you. And you don't need to fall into the marketing trap to make yourself more appealing to a potential partner. You know, the very fact that you're being selective means you will attract the right person. So, and when you're the chooser, your attitudes and behaviors reflect your understanding that everyone is not a compatible match for you, and that's okay. So that when someone does not choose you, it's a clear sign that you're not a fit. And as a result of this awareness, you won't attach yourself to the outcome of date. Earlier on, Sandy shared a great analogy with me. If you're an actor who goes on casting calls, you understand that when a casting director doesn't select you, it has nothing to do with your worthiness as an actor, because there are just so many factors that influence the decision, and they are not within your control. So don't base your self-worth and value on what someone else says or does.
And Frankie, could I just add here that if somebody doesn't choose you, all it means is that you're not a fit. It doesn't mean anything more than that. You just are not a fit.
Absolutely.
It's not a personal thing at all.
No, for sure. Thanks, Sandy. And I'm sure many of you have heard the 1001 Arabian tales. You've heard the stories where a king married and then killed his new bride every night. Well, Scheherazade, who was his last bride, stayed alive by recounting stories. And one of the stories that I really love and is so appropriate for singles is about a prince who was in search of his perfect bride. And so what he did was he had his craftsmen build a doorway with the silhouette outline of his perfect woman. And, of course, he had all the females in his kingdom. You know, they were required to come to the palace and pass through this doorway. And as you can imagine, some were too tall, so they had to stoop to pass through the doorway. Others were too thin. Some were too wide, and they had to pass through the doorway sideways. I think you get the picture. But the point is, thousands of women passed through the door, until one day a woman stood there with no gaps showing, because she fit perfectly. Now, this lesson is a profound one for singles who have a very clear understanding of their relationship requirements and needs. Because when you take the time to figure out the attributes of your ideal partner and your ideal relationship, you can build your own doorway or your own mold. So when someone doesn't fit your mold, Why would you be upset? And if they don't want to fit your mold, why would you feel rejected? You know, you wouldn't, because you're the chooser. You've chosen what you want. And being the chooser is such a core principle of conscious dating that we're going to devote an entire teleseminar to this topic. So next month's free teleseminar is called Being the Chooser, the New Paradigm for Loving Yourself. So I hope you can all join us. Sandy, let's talk about profiles, because so many people are dating online, and a profile is really a great way to set yourself apart. So what are your tips for profiles?
Okay, the first one is you need to do your homework. You're really not ready to describe yourself and your ideal mate until you've figured out your requirements, those absolute bottom line must-haves, and your needs and your wants in a relationship. So if you haven't worked with a relationship coach, this is a great time to consider doing one so that you know your bottom line. The next step is to browse through the sites, figure out how they work, check out profiles of your own sex so that you get an idea of what others are doing, and you can see what works and what doesn't. And there are some awful profiles out there. If you start looking through them, you'll get a sense of the ones that are not wonderful and the ones that are good. And the cool thing is you can model your own profile writing after the really good ones. You don't copy them exactly, but you can use them as a model. The next step is to pick a couple of sites that you want to post on. Maybe start with just one, maybe two. In my experience, it's best to avoid the more expensive sites. Most of the better ones that I found fall into the $15 to $20 a month range. I like the ones that include a space for a lengthy written narrative. For me, this is extremely important. It's really easy to just click on predetermined responses, but these don't give any kind of a vivid picture of you, and you can't get a vivid picture of your potential date through those click responses. At this time, you might choose to go ahead and register and start clicking through the click here responses. But don't post your profile yet. Most of the sites allow you to start working on your profile and then come back to it later without actually getting it posted online. So one note of caution while you're doing all of this work is to be totally honest. There's absolutely no point in claiming anything that isn't true. At some point, the person that you've been emailing and chatting with, and at that time the truth comes out. Then your next step is to create a life vision. If you've been working with a relationship coach, chances are that you've already completed this step. If not, you need to compose a narrative that includes the following material. You need to have your life purpose, the values you want to share with a partner, the lifestyle you want to live with your partner, your ideal family construction, and what you would like to do for fun with your partner. You should compose this statement in the first person present tense, as in, my partner and I live in, and you fill in the rest of it. Okay, now that's a life vision statement. That doesn't go on the website. It's from that statement, then, that you'll do step five, which is writing your narrative. So you use this statement, and you begin to write what you're looking for. You do your composing and a word processing document, which is going to check your spelling and grammar errors for you. And that's really important. You want this to be well written. So you're going to start right in by saying something like, I am, and then you add three or four adjectives that describe you. Some examples are, I am a worldly, educated, and multilingual individual. Or, I'm a loving, caring, giving, honest and loyal man. That with a statement of your passions in life. For example, I love to, and you fill in the blank. What is it that you love? As you're writing, a little bit of flirting is a really great thing, but be sure to avoid anything that could be construed as offensive. Here are some no-nos. First, don't claim anything that isn't true. Avoid something like, my friends say, just say it. Don't say that your friends say it. Just tell what you are. Avoid poor grammar and misspellings. Posting a narrative that's poorly written is kind of like showing up for a blind date, uncombed, unshowered, wearing a torn undershirt and flip-flops. This is not a terrific first impression. Don't use all caps. this comes across as shouting, and it gives also the impression that you don't know how to capitalize. Most of all, the big thing to avoid in writing your narrative is negativity. Such comments as if you're fat and ugly, don't bother writing to me, only shows you as insensitive and critical. Or saying things like, no game players, or I'm tired of people who, whatever, again, shows you as being negative, shows you as being cynical. You need to make use of the law of attraction. And if you write a positive, upbeat narrative, you're going to attract positive, upbeat people, which is what your goal is. Then, after having done all this work, and it really is a lot of work, your next step is to write a headline. I recommend doing this at the end because very often your headline will grow organically out of what you have written in the body of your narrative. You need to find something catchy. It might be a riff on something in your narrative. You could use a quotation or a line from a poem in your headline. You need to ask yourself if you'd be taken with the headline. In my own headline, I use a quotation from Midsummer Night's Dream by William Shakespeare because I love this play. And so the first part of the headline is, I know a bank. And then I have ellipses, little dots afterward. And then when I get into the beginning of my narrative, I complete the quotation. And then I offer the reader extra credit if he can identify the source of that quotation. And I've heard from a number of men that they like the interactiveness of this kind of a beginning. So you have my permission to do that, too.
Plus, it really does set you apart.
It does. It really does. Not many people say, I know a bank. Because, you know, the first impression people get is a bank where you put dollars. But then when they go on to read this, it's very clear that it's like a riverbank in the quotation that I use. So it's a little twist there. Then the next thing that you need to do is post a photo. It's absolute. Very few people respond to profiles without photos. In fact, most people won't even look at profiles that don't come with a photo. So you've really cut yourself out of a lot of good possibilities if you don't post your photo there. Remember that your photo is your only chance to make a good visual first impression, so it really should be flattering. It's not necessary for you to get a glamour photo. In fact, it's not a good idea to get a glamour photo. Your photo should flatter you, but it should look like you. You don't want to show up and have somebody go, okay, who is this ugly person walking in the door when she looked so gorgeous or he looked so gorgeous in the photo? So you just need to be careful that it is realistic as well as flattering. Here are some rules for your photos. Use a recent photo. If you don't have one, get one. Get a roll of film. Get a good friend to shoot the whole roll so that you're sure to get a few photos from that roll that really look good. Or you can, you know, use a digital camera because it's so inexpensive to do that and so easy. You need to wash and style your hair and wear makeup if you normally wear it. You should dress attractively. But be sure that you avoid white clothing, which in photos will wash you out. It's not an attractive look at all. The idea here is that you would prepare for your photo as you would prepare for a blind date. You want to look good. Now, in taking these photos, make sure that you have at least one close-up of your face. And you need to smile, because nobody's interested in a sourpuss. You should avoid sunglasses or hats, at least in your primary photo, because people really want to see your eyes. You know, we really can tell a lot about another person through the eyes. Also, be sure that you avoid cute photos, photos like using a historical character or using a photo of yourself as a child or using a photo of your pet. If you post more than one photo, including a pet with you, in a secondary shot is fine, but the emphasis always should be on you. And then your next step is to post your awesome profile. You follow the directions on the site and congratulate yourself for a job well done. And finally, enjoy the rewards, which you certainly will get if you've done all this work to create your profile.
Oh, those are great tips, Sandy. Thanks so much. Well, I think once you've figured out what you want and you've adopted a chooser mentality and you've posted a profile, well, the next step is to assess whether your dates have the potential to become a compatible partner. And you do this through the process of sorting, screening, and testing. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, because we will be offering a teleseminar that focuses on sorting, screening, and testing. But briefly, sorting enables you to quickly realize that a date is not compatible, so you can take immediate action and disengage gracefully and respectfully. Sorting can occur very quickly, you know, even in as little as 5 minutes. Now, screening is a longer process of getting enough information to determine if someone meets your requirements or not. And screening can occur during an afternoon walk or a series of telephone calls or emails over a couple of weeks. Testing is the process of gaining more experience and knowledge about the relationship and the potential partner. During the testing period, you are consciously and patiently getting to know your partner. And here's the caveat, before becoming emotionally invested and exclusive. So testing can take several months. And some people say you need to go through the four seasons of the year before you can feel comfortable testing a relationship. Whatever happens, I think it's important to take your time and test thoroughly. Finding a relationship is not like running a race. You know, don't think you need to rush to achieve certain stages. Just allow the relationship to evolve slowly and carefully. And don't forget, at any stage of sorting, screening, or testing, you need to be willing and ready to disengage if the relationship is not aligned with your vision and requirements, or if there's no chemistry, or if intuitively you feel that something just isn't right. You need to trust your instincts. So many people tend to ignore their inner voice when it comes to love relationships. And as I said before, we will be talking about sorting, screening, and testing at a later teleseminar. For internet dating specifically, though, if you choose the right site, as Sandy said, you'll find a great deal of information to help you with sorting and screening. And you can find a lot of information, such as the person's level of education, political position, spiritual affiliations, even attitudes towards smoking and drinking, and so much more. And, of course, you can find out whether they're single and available. Further, if the site allows for a lengthy narrative, you can find a wealth of other information that may be unconsciously revealed by the writer. Much of the communication you have initially with an online date should help determine if they're single. There are many players and liars online, so take everything that's said with a grain of salt. That's another reason not to become emotionally involved too quickly, because you don't know whether they are really single until at some point down the road, you know, the circumstances tell you that that's the case. And if you get involved too quickly, you won't be able to remain objective. And equally critical here is to move that cyber relationship into the real world by meeting your online date as quickly as you can. And as Sandy said at the beginning, you know, don't fall into this trap of falling in love and investing a lot of emotional energy and time into someone until you've met them face to face. Because often the reality doesn't fit the cyber persona. And of course, it doesn't need to be said, but be safe. The other thing is you really need to pay attention to some obvious red flags. Listen to what's being said. Does it make sense? I can't stress enough the importance of really paying attention to what is being said, either in written form or on the phone. Do they sound too good to be true? Are there contradictions that are very obvious? Can they only speak or communicate at odd times or for short periods of time? And are they even able to speak to you on the phone? Do you have to make special arrangements for a telephone call? Are they secretive? Do they speak in hushed tones, or are they angry or upset when you call without notice? If something doesn't feel right, follow your intuition and pin them down on iffy details. If they refuse to be pinned or remain evasive, consider that as a huge red flag and terminate the connection. That wraps up the presentation portion of tonight's teleseminar. And before we open it up to questions, I'd like to remind everyone that you can get a written transcript and audio recording of this seminar by going to www.consciousdatingaudio.com. It's only $9.95, and you'll get immediate access to the replay line.
Hi.
Hi.
I wonder if you can talk a little bit about waiting to be contacted versus contacting someone else, and maybe some good things to say when you are contacting somebody else, and also winks versus sending a real message.
Sandy, do you want to take that one?
Sure, I'd be glad to. There was a time, of course, when women were expected to not do the contacting at all, but that day has gone, and my experience has been that men are just as pleased to be contacted as a woman is. If it's a person that you think you could maybe be interested, but you're not really sure, you might want to send a wink. If it's someone that you're really kind of excited about, yeah, send them an email. And a good thing to do is to compliment them on something that you saw in their profile. What was it in their profile that you found to be so compelling? Compliments are always in line. And, you know, your first contact should be relatively short. Some of the sites allow you to include your own written profile as part of the letter that you send, and that's not a bad idea to send that along to, and your photo will go with it as well. I would say don't be hurt if somebody doesn't respond back to you. Again, we talked earlier about the rejection thing, but go ahead and contact people. And in my opinion, it's great to contact as many people at one time as you feel that you can handle talking with.
Okay. I'd like to add to that.
Yeah.
Don't pursue someone.
Yes.
Doesn't express interest in you. And don't be attached to the outcome.
Right.
Sandy said, if they don't respond, that's fine, let it go. They're not meant, it's not meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
So move on to the next one.
Yes. So one contact and then wait.
Yeah, one contact and wait. And if they don't contact you, then, you know, just write them off. But don't feel rejected about it. There are all kinds of reasons. And, you know, sometimes I've heard from people months later who say, oh, I found your mail, your letter in the trash. Somehow it wound up in their trash box. You know, the automatic filter pulled it out or something. I don't know. And they've gotten back to me after that. But, yeah, just be out there, be friendly, be warm, be light, and without that attachment, without those expectations. And just keep it up. Don't be discouraged. That's the big thing, is just keep going.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
You know, something I'd like to put in here, Frankie, is that each person who is not a match for you makes you one person closer to finding that match, kind of like Thomas Edison said when he was working on inventing the light bulb. Someone said, aren't you discouraged? It's been however many thousands you've tried. He said, no, I'm not discouraged. I know this many thousand things that don't work. I'm that much closer to finding the one that does work.
Yeah, that is so true. Go ahead with your question. Hi, who's this?
This is Frank from Phoenix.
Hi, Frank.
I just have a question about also not with the internet dating, but also other dating services. Do you think that they'll work? Because some of them want, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 for X number of dates. And I just wanted to know before I invest my money in doing this, is it something that's reliable?
Well, my opinion is that some of them are more reliable than others, but I think I would try other methods first. Because that's an enormous amount of money. And they could promise you dates, but they can't really promise you that there's going to be a match for you. And, you know, that's a huge amount of money. And I think there's something about doing the work yourself that puts out a particular energy that, to help attract the person to you. I would use an expensive dating matching service only really in the last resort, because it is such a huge investment with no guarantees.
No, I'm saying that is true. So I was happy to hear that before I make this commitment.
Yeah. And I'm not even really a fan of the dating sites that won't let you browse, that say, oh, we'll match you up and we'll let you know when there's somebody that that matches you. I'm not crazy about them because, one, they cost a lot more than the ones where you can browse, and I have not had terrific results with those. So, you know, my suggestion is, you know, maybe get out there on a bunch of sites so that you can kind of spread yourself around, but choose the less expensive ones and use your money more wisely that way. But also, don't rely strictly on internet. Get out there and mix it up with other people too, and join groups where you're aligned with what people like to do, with your passions.
And Frank, you can spend a lot of money being out there joining groups, being exposed to many more people than if you joined that type of site that cost you $2,000 to $3,000.
Right, that's true.
Yes.
Did that answer your question, Frank?
Yes, it did. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Good.
Fabulous. Am I saying that correctly?
Navian, yeah. And, you know, my question is, because I've fallen for this before, are there some strategies to keep from becoming emotionally involved while you're doing all this, on whether it be the Internet or not the Internet, where you're going through that time where you're starting screening and testing? I mean, advice on...
my thing is to just keep telling myself that it's just early days yet, it's too soon. No, enjoy the excitement, but just to keep reminding myself that it's too soon to become emotionally involved. You know, if it's only been a few weeks, I mean, this person might look awesome, but, you know, you just keep saying, okay, we're both on our best behavior right now because you both are. And also recognize that this other person that you are interacting with might be seeing other people as well. So until you have been interacting with this person long enough to know that you're both focused on a committed relationship between the two of you, it's just a matter of being very firm. This is where you use your head to control your heart and knowing your bottom line requirements and just, you know, remind yourself, I'm testing. To see if this person is right.
Now, are we talking, so it's not so much the time period, it's them bringing it up and saying, I would like to be exclusive. I mean, is it like three months?
Oh, when should that happen?
Yeah.
To be exclusive?
Yes. I mean, you have to wait till they say something, you know, about it,
mm-hmm.
I've heard. If you're a woman, that's a good idea. But... isn't it generally 3 months that they figure if nothing's happening by then, they haven't brought in that kind of time to be moving on anyway? So basically, for the first 3 months, I'm just asking, you should try to stay disconnected emotionally. And
yeah, I think that's a good idea. But I think I would disagree with the fact that a woman can bring it up, you know. Certainly, if I got to the point where I thought that, okay, nothing is happening here, this doesn't seem to be progressing, before I left, I would say, you know, John, I'm really learning to care for you, and I'd kind of like us to move to a next step. And how are you feeling about this? It's possible that he might say, oh, yeah, no, not so interested, and then you know it's time to go. But it's also, you know, this keeps the doors open. I'm about openness and honesty in dealing with other people and just being very frank about where things are. With this person, there's nothing wrong with a woman saying, you know, I'm becoming attached here. Am I wasting my time, or should I be moving on? Are you interested in more than what we've had? That's perfectly acceptable.
And can you just give me a time period? Do you think that would be acceptable to say something like that?
There's a couple of things I want to say. One is that, you know, what you said, Sandy, about making that statement, if that's where you are, doesn't matter what the time frame is, although I think definitely 3 months is too soon to be talking about exclusivity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's important to know if your potential partner is on the same track with
yes.
you. Because if he's not, then you need to get your train onto another track.
Mm-hmm.
That one's going nowhere.
Yeah.
Right? So as soon as you're feeling that, oh, this seems to be the guy, I'm screening and testing, and, you know, we're compatible, and this got the qualities that I'm looking for. If he's not there, it doesn't matter. He's
mm-hmm.
not there. So you need to bring it up when you feel it's appropriate. I want to go back to what you asked originally, and that's about how do you stay in this space of reason and logic when you've got all these hormones coursing through your body and you're falling in love and you're excited and, you know, it's lustful and all these things are happening. Well, think about previous relationships and what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what were some of the incompatibility issues that may have arisen in those relationships? that maybe you saw when you were in that falling in love stage, but you ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? Did that relationship last for 5 years, but you always dealt with that issue or those underlying problems? So remember, it's not a race. Take the time you need to do it right, because if you don't, you're going to end up in the same situation that you did before, failed relationship. And we've all had failed relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's not what we're looking for. We want to have wonderful, successful relationships. But the way you get there is by taking one step at a time,
mm-hmm.
and maintaining that space of reason while you're falling in love and becoming attached. So, in that perspective. In terms of exclusivity, I have had a lot of singles have told me that they have been asked to be exclusive after just a couple of dates. So here's what I tell them to say. Say to your date, I do not want to make a mistake. I want a wonderful relationship, and I want to be certain that the person that I partner with, that we're compatible. And I can't tell that after 3 dates. You're a wonderful person. You're a great guy. But I don't know if some of the things that I need in a relationship are what we can create together. It takes time. And I hope you understand that. And if the man says to you, well, I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense. You know, either we're exclusive or I'm out of here. Say goodbye.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay? Any other, did I answer your question? Did we answer what you were looking for?
Yes, and that last part you just mentioned really helped too, because I've had that happen. I haven't known what to do, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's about you don't want to make a mistake. You know, you don't want to have a failed relationship. You want a wonderful relationship, and that takes time to figure out.
My question is, how do you go about choosing a good site? I know there are a lot of sites. I'm trying Love Alive. I mean, what are the good sites, and how do you go about choosing a good site?
I'm going to let Sandy handle this one.
Sure. The large sites are the really good ones, I think. Check to see how many members they have, because that gives you a far broader choice of potential partners. Some of the sites are highly aligned with specific with specific values, but they tend to be very small, and you just don't have a broad enough choice. So one of my first things is make sure the site has enough members in it to give you a good choice of people to examine.
So then, would Lava Life be a good site to be on?
I just heard about Lava Life the other day, and I think I read that it has quite a few members.
It does have a lot of members, yeah.
Yeah, and I haven't checked it out, so I'm going to have to do that and see what that one is like. But also, you know, they should have the place where you click off the the multiple choice answers, you know, all that easy stuff. But as I said earlier, also one that gives you plenty of room to write a narrative. I gain so much reading men's narratives. I gain a real sense of who they are. There are all these unconscious things that come through. And also, you have a chance to express yourself in a narrative, and it's a lot of work to create that narrative, especially if you hate writing, but it's well worth it to do. So I think those are my two biggest things, is that they be big enough to have enough members, and that they give you enough space to write a good narrative, both for you representing yourself and for you getting a sense of the other person. And, of course, they should all have the double-blind kind of thing, but I think they pretty much do work with that. Those are my two main criteria.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Lava Life is the largest, I think, Canadian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that what it's Canadian? Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, but I think they've moved into the States very recently.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I had a question. Yeah, actually. It is opposite of what the other young lady spoke about. She spoke about having sex on the first date. I'm actually a virgin. I've rather stay, I mean, it's my choice to stay that way until after I'm married. How do you go about telling someone? How do you mention something like that on a date? You know, obviously I don't want to mention it the first time I sit with a guy. I mean, not the first date or the second date, I don't think. But Trina, Kat, Trina? You can call me Kat.
Well, Trina, you know, you're right. It really isn't anyone's business that you're a virgin. That is something that you may want to convey to a man that you're interested in. And so it may take you several dates before you realize that there is a connection or that this person has some of the attributes that you're looking for. And you know, if it comes out in the conversation and if you feel comfortable, then, you know, feel free to reveal that. But I don't think it's something you have to mention on the first, second, third date.
Right, right. Okay. It's just to weed out the men, because, you know, there's a lot of men out there that just want one thing, and I'm just not into that. I'm, you know, at the age where I just want to settle down with a good guy and
And the
I don't know how to come about.
That, for some men, you would be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to be sure that someone is interested in you for a genuine purpose.
Right. So it's best not to mention it, you're saying.
And
I
think
not in the first couple of dates. Sandy, do you have any comments about
that? I do. If you're doing the online dating and when you're writing your profile, you can plant an idea that you have conservative values or that you're strongly family oriented or, you know, that sort of thing, so that you'll be, you know, that will help to weed out men who just want, you know, a quick roll in the hay. But who also are looking for the kind of thing that you're looking for as well. So, you know, there are ways to phrase it that will suggest that, that you don't want sex immediately.
Okay.
Trina,
okay.
Did that help you?
Yes, it did. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Great.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you. We're going to wrap up now. We've run over with our technical difficulties and everything tonight. Thank you so much for bearing with us. I hope that you'll join us next month. Our call is May 3rd, and the topic is Being the Chooser, Paradigm for Loving Yourself. Contact Sandy. You can go to her website, www.yourpersonallovecoach.com. And for those of you who are serious about finding the love of your life, I hope you'll join me for my 4-week relationship success training for singles teleclass. The next one starts on Tuesday, May the 1st. Just completed the class, and it was a really amazing experience. So for more information, to register, go to www.consciousdatingprogram.com. And in 2 weeks, on April the 19th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Eastern, we have our monthly Conscious Dating Teleclinic for live coaching and advice. And all you need to do is register at www.consciousdatingteleclinics.com, and it's free. And if you have questions that you would like addressed either in a monthly seminar or during our dating teleclinic, you can write to us at www.askconsciousdating.com. And all of these URLs have been provided in your study guide. If you didn't get that, you can download it at www.consciousdating.com/internet.htm as in Mary. Say that again, consciousdating.com/internet.htm. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Have a good night.